Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about having Christina Cavanaugh back on the show because she is on our website, and you can go there and listen to interviews that she and I have had, visits that she and I have had in the past in our archives. So go there and click on the, if you click on the Listen Now button, that'll take you to the page where the archives are. And we're easy to find there. And you can find Christina's name also in our Brain Trust list. And you can find her archives link there in her name in the Brain Trust. So there's a lot of different things you can do there. And you can find out, you can also subscribe to our free newsletter as well. Christina Cavanaugh is an internationally recognized expert in the area of email. She's written a book called Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. She's a professor at the University of Ontario, and she's our good friend. Christina, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back. You know, Christina, I was just reading something that happened on this day. In 1783, after receiving a copy of the Provisional Treaty on March 13th, the U.S. Congress proclaimed a formal end to the hostilities with Great Britain. The Revolutionary War was over on 1783, but what was interesting there for you and me is, it said after receiving a copy of the Provisional Treaty. Now, I wonder how that copy got to them. Somebody had to scratch it out with a quill, and then they had to make probably a couple of copies. Who knows how long that took. And then they had to ride it on horseback over to the meeting, I guess.
Yes.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have.
Well, you think about that. You think about the pace. I mean, from beginning to end, from the time that treaty was ready to be put on paper till somebody could receive it and take action was no doubt days.
Maybe
weeks for all we know.
Yes.
If part of that was scratched out in England, it might have been months.
Yes. Yes, and I think that what would have happened also is that while it was in progress, a lot of people might have had something to say about it.
Right.
There would have been room for input. Oh, what did you say about this, or how is this? Let me look at it.
Mm-hmm. Not only say about it, but to sleep on it and think about it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, which is a luxury we don't have with email.
Well, exactly. That angle that I was going for because these days we scratch something out on the quill of our keyboard, and it appears on the screen, and we take a couple of extra steps, and it's out of here. It's gone to, you know, maybe across the big pond, maybe across the street. But it's in somebody's hands, whether we were ready for it or not.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
So what lessons should we take from all this, from all these things that we're talking about?
I think the key lesson is to understand that email is permanent. It's not like paper or the example that you've described where you could actually destroy it. Email is permanent, and it means that permanency means that it can be traced, it can be subpoenaed by lawyers, it could be looked at out of context of which it was written for the purposes of a court case.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you didn't get that smiley face in there.
Well, no, which is totally unprofessional, by the way, to your listeners. Professional emails should not have smiley faces or any of those other things.
Right.
But the notion of remembering that email could be seen or brought up again or under scrutiny is something that we just don't pay that much attention to. And one of the reasons is that, you know, we sort of understand it, Jim, but when we're sitting at our own keyboards or laptops or on our BlackBerries, we don't think about that. We think that it's just us against the world, and we think everything's quite private. But if you asked somebody like Harry Stonecipher, who was the former CEO of Boeing,
right.
That was just the most recent case of somebody who just didn't think that their emails could come under scrutiny.
Tell us what happened.
Well, what happened there was he was having an affair with a female employee, and he had put some of his declarations and some of his information, you know, declarations of love on the email. And I think that somebody had, you know, said something to the board that we think that there's a bit of, you know, conduct that is probably unbecoming, you know, from an optical perspective. And they found the email, and that was it. He had to resign. And what was in the news was not only what he did, but it was the email that caught him. That was the big news.
Right. And of course, the thing is if this were 20 years ago, he would have made a phone call, and that would have been gone forever. Or he would have written her a note, which she would have, kept at home, and it wouldn't have been available for somebody to find. But this guy recorded this for posterity, to his demise, his professional demise, in a company environment.
Yes,
in a business environment.
And that's one other thing to note was it was on company equipment.
Yeah.
A lot of times people feel, well, if I send personal emails, you know, which companies don't mind that you do, but, you know, if I send personal emails, they're personal. Well, you know, everything that you send on company-owned equipment belongs to the company. You know, so therefore, if a lawyer wants to subpoena company records and your, you know, personal emails in there, it's there.
Well, and the other thing that could happen is if there's something going on that the authorities want to get, they just get a subpoena and they come in your office and they take your machines out of your office.
Well, they can take the machines or they can actually go to the IT department. It depends on, you know, how large or small the firm is.
For a small business, but see, when it comes to a small business,
they'll take your machines.
Chris, they just come in and get the computers. They just unplug them and walk out with them.
That's right. And then what they do is they will search through looking at their smoking gun.
They turn it over to their IT experts. And now we come back to what our friend Bill Hubbard has told us, our HR professional, and that is you got to have policies telling people how they, you know, how you expect them to behave and what you expect them not to do. I wonder if Stonecipher had read Boeing's policies. I bet they had one. Stand by, Christina. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with more to come. We've got some more good information about email from our good friend Christina Cavanaugh right after these messages. She's the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. Mr. Robert Cray on blues guitar. What a player. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Wish I could play the guitar like that. He's good. Christina Cavanaugh is with us. I'm not sure. Christina, can you play the guitar?
No, I play a bit of piano, but not as good, not as near like Robert Cray.
Well, you're going to have to. Do you know Robert Cray?
No.
You know his music? Well, you're going to have to play the piano for us one of these days. We'll get you hooked up. You have to play something for us on the show. What do you think?
Well, we'll see.
But what she will do, though, folks, is talk to us about our email, how to manage our email. The book is called Managing Your Email. And, Christina, we need your website, please.
It's www.christinacavanaugh, all one word, .com.
Okay, and that's Christina like you would think with a C, and Cavanaugh with a C, and no extra N's,
no
by
you.
The way.
Yeah,
no U, right, no U's and no extra N.
No.
So check that out, ChristinaCavanaugh.com. Can they find out more about your book there?
Yes, they can, and there's some articles there that I have written and just some other information.
Okay, Christina, we got people out there listening who are just starting to grow their business. They're starting to get a few employees, and they're starting to get some workstations around their business. And they're letting their people go online and find the internet, and you know, use the internet in their business, and send email back and forth to each other, to customers, to vendors, and their employees are connected. They're connected to the over the World Wide Web, the Wild Wild Web, from their desktops, and this is a good thing. I mean, this is something that we're going to make our people a lot more productive by having this capability. But there are some other things that they need to know when they're using email to talk to folks. And what would you have those people sitting at your knee now, Christina, and they'd like to know what you think they should do?
Well, if I had them sitting at the knee, I guess I'd say three things to them. I'd say that, you know, you need to become, to be most efficient, you need to be a better sender, a better receiver, and better organized. Going through the better sender, I'd say that you need to be able to prepare short messages that are concise and easy to read. Not overly verbose. Like, you've got to respect your senders, so you've got to take a little extra time to compose.
And on a self-serving note, you're doing this partially because you want to make sure they read the thing.
Well, that's right, and you want to make sure that the effort is worth it, because there's nothing, you know, dollars wasted if you are overly composing an email and sending it out to someone who doesn't care to read it. That's lost dollars, because you won't get the business.
Right.
So being a better sender is making short, properly composed messages. Being a better receiver is taking the time out to do emails in blocks of time, as opposed to letting email, every time a new one comes in, dictating to you that that's you have to interrupt your work.
Right.
Set times aside to do that. And try to use your inbox for current items only. Don't keep an inbox that's got, a zillion things in it, because you never feel like you've accomplished any work and you don't know where your next tasks are. And the third is being better organized. And that's having file folders, electronic file folders that you understand, being able to file emails that you want to keep, so that you can actually retrieve them again. And how would you do that? Well, I usually say to people, change the subject line before you file it into something that you're going to remember, resave the message, and file it.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about changing the subject line.
Yeah, because, I think most people get very worried about, well, how do I find this email again? Well, if you change the subject line or add something to it that you understand, and then you file it in an electronic folder that you understand, you'll be able to retrieve it.
You know, Christina, I fell in love with email when I found out about stationery.
That is the
ability to create stationery, the ability to create templates and use them over and over and over again. That may have been the most leveraging, the tool that leveraged me and things that I've created and that I want to use over and over again. I mean, I've never seen anything that made me as productive as that has.
Mm-hmm.
To create something one time, and to get it right, and then hold on to it, and then whenever I needed to send somebody something that fit, whatever it might be, and there are a lot of different things we use those for around here, to be able to hit one button, so to speak, and maybe change a name, and hit another button, and it's gone, and you just accomplished an enormous task. You made enormous progress with a customer or whatever. And it happened in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a wonderful part of email, is the fact that if you are sending similar types of messages, and we tend to in business, that yes, you can capture them. They're readily available in everybody's system on a shared drive, and then you're able to use them and be really efficient.
Yeah, that's really helped me a lot. Christina, I've got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts. What's the last thing you'd like to leave us with today?
I think the last thing is from the first thing. It's thinking with your emails, think in the big picture. The big picture meaning that your emails could end up being under scrutiny. So it's important to think about the risks involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other big picture thing is that email is not just a simple tool. It's not just I'm going to knock off an email. It takes a lot of time and energy, so we should respect that.
It needs to take more than it does in most cases. I certainly agree with that. Christina Cavanaugh, thank you for being here today. Good job.
Oh, my pleasure, Jim. Have a wonderful day.
We'll see you next time. Christina Cavanaugh. The book is called Managing Your Email by Christina Cavanaugh. That's ChristinaCavanaugh.com. 29 after, I'll be right back with Rick Pinion. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.